Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We are broadcasting live right here from our studios, and those studios are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. Great to have you with us, friends, as we start our Wednesday afternoon broadcast live, and hope that you'll be able to stay with us for the full hour-long broadcast as we get things started with a devotional message that'll be coming up momentarily. And that, of course, will be followed up as we open the phone lines here at the Grace Hour with your phone calls, which means, of course, your comments, questions, testimonies, counseling needs, and your prayer requests. All and that and more are welcome on our broadcast when those phone lines are open. And when they are open, join us simply by dialing one of these numbers. The toll-free number is, well, a number you can dial throughout North America, Canada, and the United States at 800-338-7060. Again, you can join us live on the phone with your comments and questions at 800-338-7060. And for those of you listening in the greater Baltimore area, we encourage you to dial our local number, 410-483-3700. And of course, if you're calling us outside of the continental United States, Canada, or all of North America, you too would dial 410-483-3700. I want to welcome our local listeners on WRBS, 1230 on your AM dial. Thanks for joining us for the Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour. Everyone else tuning in live on the internet at gracehour.org, and the folks that are both listening and watching on Facebook Live and YouTube Live, we want to welcome everyone to our Wednesday live broadcast right here from the studios of the Grace Hour. And as you know, if you've been listening thus far this week, our theme has been the heartbeat of God. And I know that I mentioned yesterday in the broadcast that Pastor Kim Shibley from the Greater Grace Church in Silver Spring, Maryland would be here, but unfortunately he is not able to make it and had a prior commitment. So taking his spot and very capable of joining us live in the Grace Hour, Pastor Jason Moore is joining us, and he'll be sharing some thoughts on this great theme of the heartbeat of God. Pastor Jason, welcome.
Amen, amen. I want that same anointing that Pastor Shibley has. He's awesome. So just a couple of thoughts that maybe will help us understand this this incredible thought in a fresh way. I've been studying just in regards to addiction counseling and how to present the gospel, in addictions, really. And to anyone, for that matter, that struggles, or and even those that are doing well. I mean, the heartbeat of God really is a revelation. But one of the great tragedies in the Christian's life is living out of our soul or soulishness. And when we think about the soulish man in James chapter 1, verse 8, he is unstable in all of his ways. And I want us to think about this, and it prompts me because I was recently in a counseling with someone talking, and they said this statement to me. They said, I've been a Christian for many years, but now I feel like I'm a practicing Christian. They've gone from just the mental ascent now into a living relationship. And what happened? Well, I believe that person is starting to leave living in their soul, their soulishness. Now, we understand there's a conscious mind, which focuses in real-time responses, where in the now, there is the subconscious mind, which is where I call it there's floating material or places where our triggers are. And again, there's the psychic noise and also moods that gravitate in the subconscious. Just below the surface, and the subconscious feeds the conscious. And then there's the unconscious mind, which is where the roots of the person is. It's the long-term storage maybe there's been history, maybe there's been good history, bad history, but it's stored in the long-term storage in the unconscious mind. Now, this area of the soul, the five parts of the soul, is valuable because there's the will, and that will functions from a place of choosing what to believe, what to hold on to, and what and how to respond. If I live from my soul, then I can have an understanding of who God is, but I may not experience God in his entirety. And I think we're in a soulish day where everyone is consumed with their feelings. Maybe that's always been like this, but it's hypersensitive now, I believe. There's a real self-awareness, self-consciousness, and God wants to deliver us from living out of our soul, this place where just below the surface, there's this psychic noise, there's this unresolved things in our soul. And this is why David constantly says throughout the book of Psalm, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Magnify the Lord, O my soul. Hope in the Lord," in Psalm 13:2, Psalm 100. He addresses the soul, and he says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" in 42:5 and 6 of Psalm. Hope in the Lord. So I want to kind of bring this up because addictions and troubles that may be besetting sins, if it comes ultimately in our unconscious, there's a lie there or some sort of broken piece that we have somehow accepted, and then it feeds our subconscious, which again can be a lot of confusion. I mean, it's a very interesting verse in Jeremiah 3:25. It says that they lie down in shame and they live in confusion because the soul is not governed by the spirit. The spirit man is the heart of man, is what is controlled by doctrine, and there's healthy emotions. There's healthy understandings. There's a healthy filter. But if my soul is not governed by doctrine, then we will lie down in shame. We will lie down in confusion. The dog will return to his vomit. The person will have a cyclical lifestyle where in 1 Timothy 5:7, they are dead while they still live. And it's because we're living in this place of the soul, the soul man. So how is it that we can be rescued from this lifestyle and this this place where in Matthew 15:13, it says, God says, "I will uproot every plant that was not planted by me." Great promise there. 15:13 of Matthew. And how does he do that? Well, through a revelation of how good God is, a revelation of the grace of God, a revelation of who he is changes who I am. Now I no longer live in my soul, but my soul now is dictated to by doctrine, and we're living according to the words of God. So now no longer is it feelings, but now it's facts according to the finished work. And we see this beautifully in Isaiah chapter 40, and I want to get to Philemon hopefully, but I love these two questions in 21 and 28 of chapter 40. Have you not known? Have you not heard? I love this. Well, if we're living in our soul, we have not known and we have not heard. We might be able to say a lot of great things, but we're detached from the life of it unless there's a relationship with it. We can know all these great things, but the soul cannot be in the driver's seat of the believer's life. The psychic noise or the moods that now become the driver's seat, God is saying, live in my spirit. Let my spirit control you, your body, soul, and spirit of 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I want to have you have a clean soul in 15:3 of John. I want you to have a new spirit in Ezekiel 36:26. I want you to think with me and have the word be living and alive and addressing the things of the heart in Hebrews 4:12. And in 4:13, nothing is hidden from God. So what is he saying here? Have you not known? Have you not heard? And this whole chapter is really amazing because he's talking about who God is. And if you want to read that chapter on your own, it's incredible. It's, have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told from you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? Like God says, I have started here about who I am. And there, and the free will is this, it plays tug of war often with truth when our will is not in a healthy place, when we're not mixing faith with what we hear. It doesn't matter how we feel today, if I could be straight up honest with you. It matters what God says. And if I believe what God says, then it's going to change the way I feel, honestly. So the psychic noise or those things that come from the past that disrupt our emotions, that disrupt our faith in this sense, where doubt and cynicism and maybe we hang on to a negative mindset. It's like, what happens? God says, I want you to know my heartbeat. I want you to know who I am. Well, he goes on to say this in 28 of Isaiah 40. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. So he is saying, this is the definition of me according to me and according to truth. We often in our soul can make God very small, and we can fit him into our world when really we are to be surrendered to his world. Let me show you this in Philemon here. The heartbeat of God is unconditional. It's unrelenting. It's intentional. It is perfect. It is based on him, not on our performance. The heartbeat of God. We see here in the book of Philemon, we know this story, but this is an incredible book to be read and really understood in a fresh way. You know, Paul is addressing Philemon about Onesimus, and Onesimus has stolen and ran away from Philemon. And we really see the heart of God here, because Onesimus should be really, what's the word, punished, maybe judged, maybe even killed for what he has done. But Paul is saying, Philemon, don't forget our relationship. And because of the relationship you and I have, and because of who I am, I want you to give mercy to Onesimus. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Have you not understood who God is? And therefore, that'll transform the heart. And so longer, it's no longer behavior modifications, but now it's a heart transformation. And he builds them up. I thank God for you in verse 4, always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith towards the Lord Jesus. I mean, 4 and 5, through 7, actually, he's just building him up. And a great joy and consolation in your love in verse 7. And then 8, he shifts gear. He says, therefore, I might be very bold to command you, but it's fitting because of love's sake that I would beg you. I mean, look at the heart of God there. Paul could have been heavy-handed. He could have been very demanding. But instead, he said, for love's sake, I appeal to you for my son. Notice that tremendous humbleness of mind, that tremendous heartbeat of God that says, this person violated, did something wrong, and was, they should be given judgment, but I'm saying he's my son. He's so close to me. He was useless, but now he's profitable because of how you're going to treat him, how you're going to restore him, how you're going to initiate and project agape love on him. I'm sending him back in verse 12. Receive him with, that is my own heart, who I wish to keep with me on the behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be of compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. So again, he's saying, wow, I don't want you to give evil for evil here, Philemon. I don't want you to live in your soul. I don't want you to be high and mighty and self-righteous. I want you to give him grace. I want you to bestow the heart of God on the person that least deserves it. And verse 15, for perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that ye might receive him forever. And isn't that an interesting statement? Sometimes people, in their failure, they fall forward in grace. And the purpose, not that failure is a good thing, but there is a silver lining to say that people discover the goodness of God in their failure as they go positive to the Word of God. What a great example here. You're no longer a slave, but more than a slave, you're a beloved brother. This is someone that's initiating the heart of God based in the Holy Spirit. It's no longer the soul where everything gravitates around me or just or fairness, I should say. Fairness, like that wasn't right, right and wrong. Actually, that is true to a degree, but we should say what is spiritual and what is not spiritual. Who is saved and who is not saved? I spoke to a gentleman recently. He's telling me how, you know, all this talk about good and bad. And I said, you know what? There are two people in the world. There are believers and there are unbelievers. And it's all about the goodness of God, because anything good in our lives from God. So he's beseeching him, saying, both, I want you to treat him as a brother. And if you count me as a brother or companion, receive him as you would receive me. Look at that, verse 17. This is how Jesus treats us. This book is a great illustration of how God stoops down very low with the heartbeat of the Father and says, I'm going to give you what you desperately need and not what you deserve. And I would have loved to see Philemon's face as he transitioned, thinking maybe he was going to punish Onesimus or he was going to initiate some justice, but instead he was being received with joy and knowing in verse 20 that this would refresh his heart. Well, early on in the verse, it says, if there's any need, I want you to remember how I treated you. And I want any need or commitment that is financial or physical, put it on my account. Treat him as you would me. Because I'm writing this with my very own hand in verse 19. And not to mention that you owe me your own life. And this is where the heartbeat of God is. So in relationships, I can live in my soul and have a very turbulent relationship and be unstable in all our way. Or the heartbeat of God leads us into the spirit man, leads us into a place where, God, you have given us so much. You have done so much. You have done the perfect work, and therefore I'm a recipient and trophy of grace. Therefore, I will give grace because I've been a great debtor, even more than the person that's standing in front of you. I love Philemon. I love this, and because this is the heart of God, and this is something we don't possess. Have you not known? Have you not heard? No, I haven't, not like I need to. But in Revelation, in 9:23 of Jeremiah, in Revelation, in Ephesians 1:13-17, in Revelation, we understand we are most blessed. God is so good. And the most undeserving person in front of us, you know what they need today? They need the heartbeat of God. We need the heartbeat of God. We desperately need to hear that God is unconditionally loving us. In Song of Solomon 8:6, in a way that we were designed to be loved. So today, where are we living? Is the unconsciousness, is it hijacking our lives? Well, the love of God goes deep, and it roots out the lie. It roots out the pain. It roots out the generational curse. It roots out the sin that easily besets us. It settles our subconscious and says, listen, be still and know that I'm God. Muzzled. And then our conscious mind, our inner real time, we are enjoying joy. We're enjoying peace. We're enjoying the flowers, the strawberries, the cappuccinos. We're everything is beautiful from the heartbeat of God. And it's for our sake. Amen.
Amen.
A lot there we can unpack, I hope.
And we'll do just that. We'll start unpacking some great thoughts shared on this Wednesday afternoon. And you're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends. And We want to take a moment just to remind our listeners, especially those of you in the greater Baltimore area, that tonight we'll be having our midweek service, which we do each and every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. right here in our chapel. And we want you to know that you're invited, and everyone is invited. And you say, well, if everyone comes, will you have enough seats? Absolutely. So come on out and join us for a time of worship and great fellowship together with the body of Christ. You may have a local church that you visit each and every Sunday, and for that we're grateful. But if you would like to join us and, again, schedule even more fellowship in your week, then come on out tonight, 7 p.m., join us for our midweek service. Again, there is childcare provided for children and a mother's room for the newborns, a junior church program. So we have everything covered by way of the children's ministry. And then, of course, we welcome you into the chapel for our service, worship, a message from the scripture, and a time to be refreshed, built up, and encouraged. So all are welcome. 7 p.m. tonight. We're located at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, right here in Baltimore. Our zip code is 21206. And we look forward to having you be our guest. Phone lines are now open, friends. Great opportunity for you to join us at 800-338-7060. That's the toll-free number throughout all of North America. And the local number, 410-483-3700. Again, we are broadcasting live right here from Baltimore, Maryland. Folks are tuning in and listening around the world, and we're even represented by someone joining us live on the phone from Texas. That would be Texas Greg, who has migrated and is now Baltimore Greg. Greg, welcome.
Hey, you take it easy. We'll never take Texas out of Greg.
Amen.
We'll never take Texas out of Greg. Yeah,
that's the truth.
I just wanted to call in today because I just want y'all to know how much it means to me that how the body of Christ comes together in times of sorrow. I know Pastor Jason's with you. I spoke with him yesterday, but Pastor Love, my father passed on last Friday. But I know that he is in the presence of the Lord right now in his glorified body and rejoicing. And it's such a weird feeling because I'm happy for him, but I'm sad for me.
Yeah, of course. I know. We all know that, you know, we have a date, we have an appointment where we're going to go home to be with the Lord, those that are born of God. But at the same time, you know, leaving the ones we love and losing the ones we love, that's the challenge, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But we are free from sin. You know, we don't grieve like someone unsaved grieves, because we know that my dad, he's not in a wheelchair no more. He doesn't have a bad heart anymore. I mean, he's running with the angels. He's running with his dad. You know, his dad was a believer. His brother was a believer. It's a reunion. And I just believe that he's got to. So, and I'll tell you this. The nurse told my brother, because my brother got back to the hospital before he died, and my brother didn't get back in time. And, the nurse told my brother that before my dad died, he had one thing last to say. And he says, I know I'm going home to the Lord. Mm. And he closed his eyes, and the nurse said he had a smile on his face.
Wow. Beautiful.
I mean, wow. I it's like I cry and laugh at the same time, but it's like, I wish I could have been there to see the smile on his face, because this is the thought I'm going with at that moment, because it says in the Bible, the moment we're gone, we're in the presence of the Lord.
That's right.
The moment.
Yeah. Absent from the body, present with the Lord.
Yes. And so I really believe that he saw him. He saw Jesus, and he still had a smile on his face. And here's what I can remember my dad telling me: wipe that grin off your face, boy. But, you know, it's in my mo. And you tell me, I guess this is normal. It's like ups and downs right now,
You know? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You're going to have those moments where thinking of him puts a smile on your face, and then you're going to have other moments where tears will flow and you wonder how to shut them off.
Mm. Right.
And that's perfectly to be expected.
Well, God bless you. I don't want to take a bunch of you guys' time or anything like that, but I just wanted to call in and tell you guys, love you guys. I'll see you tonight in service, and y'all have a wonderful grace hour, okay?
Thank you, Greg. Great to hear from you, and you and your family will remain in our prayers.
You got it. Thank you, sir. God bless you and Pastor Jason as well.
Love you, sir.
All right.
All right, guys. We'll see you later.
God bless you. Wow. Phone lines are open, friends. We're going to take our next caller after the break, which will be in just another minute. But fill up the lines, 800-338-7060. That's toll-free in all of North America. And locally, it's 410-483-3700. Wow. Losing his dad.
Yeah, I mean, just hearing that testimony, you can see where truth in the inward parts gives a whole nother reality. We're human. We hurt, we cry, we're hungry, but then the reality of God deep in us, it settles us. It gives us a divine perspective, and grief is so unreasonable oftentimes. It's that unwelcomed guest, but with Christ, knowing that our loved one is sitting at the feet of Jesus, there's no greater comfort, and we're going to see them again. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, and it's, as we said to Greg, it's perfectly legitimate. You know,
yes.
It's part of a process that we have to go through when
Absolutely.
We lose someone that we love, or at least have to wait to be reunited with them in the future. Tess has written to us, says, thanks, Pastor Moore, for a pivotal devotional. And thanks, Pastor Love, for the interceding prayers yesterday. I was able to sleep like a baby, feeling refreshed and rejuvenated. Jet lag is gone. Thanks be to God. Wonderful testimony, Tess. We did pray for you and continued to pray for you after the broadcast. I'm very, very glad to hear that those prayers were answered. Look forward to seeing you tonight. Well, friends, we're out of time. That is for the first half hour, but another half hour is coming your way. Stay with us for the second half of the Wednesday edition of the Grace Hour that's coming right up. For those of you that have to leave us, God bless you, but tune into tomorrow, Pastor Stephen's message entitled The Heartbeat of God. And we're back with you live, friends, at gracehour.org, Facebook Live, YouTube Live. Great to have you with us, friends. Fill up the phone lines. We'd love to hear from you today. It's been rather quiet on the phones this week, but this is such an important and great theme for us to consider, to meditate upon, to talk about the heartbeat of God. And to understand the heartbeat of God is critical and important if we're going to get through some of the tests, trials, challenges that we'll experience in our own lives. We have to have an understanding of what it is that God thinks about us, how he plans to deal with us, what his plans are for us, and the fact that he is in us, above us, around us, and underneath us. And underneath are those everlasting arms. So let's go to Caroline next. She's joining us. I'm not sure from where. Caroline, where are you calling us from?
I love you, Pastor Love. It's Carolyn from Rochester, New Hampshire.
Okay. Did not say that you were calling us from Rochester. Had it said Rochester, we would have known it was you immediately.
Hi. Good morning. Good afternoon. And I can't wait for this evening to hear the word again. And I just want to say, Pastor Jason, oh, my gosh. Thank you so, so much. I had just happened to sit down to do my my daily readings, and I actually looked up and I opened my Bible, and where do I open it up to? But Isaiah 41, and you had talked about Isaiah 40, as well as Philemon. I could have listened more, much more when you said, okay, and that's it. And I went, what? What do you mean that's it? No, I want more. I want more. And what a blessing. What a blessing. Again, I can't help but keep saying, what a breath of fresh air. And it just really is so important to get into the Word and to dig into that. And that little chapter has so many nuggets in there. It's just so many. It's like, turn over another stone, turn over. I mean, it's that line upon line, but there's so much in there. It's just amazing. And I miss you guys. I miss you guys terribly. And wish I could be there, you know, but I thank God. What a gift. I wasn't able to get on my computer this morning, but to be able to, I actually tuned in on my phone, which I don't be able to do too often. And to see you guys and hear your voice and hear the message, it is so, so important to hear and listen, and as well as reading the Word and being guided by you guys. I just wanted to say thank you. I don't get overwhelmed because I heard Greg's testimony about his dad. And it was quite a few years ago I lost my dad, and it was only a few years ago that I lost my mom. And but for the grace of God that I had, not only got clean and sober, but being saved right after that, back in the 90s, the mid-90s, and I wouldn't be there. I wouldn't be there if I didn't have the Lord to guide me and be there for them at the end. And I just want to say thank you. Truly thank you. I don't want to take it for granted to be able to tune in and hear you guys, let alone to be able to be tuned in, because you heard so many times I have often had troubles with my computer. But it's just good to hear you, and I just want to say thank you. I love you both.
Thank you, Carolyn. We can hear the gratitude in your voice, and we appreciate it very, very much.
Mm. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor Jason. Love you.
Love you, too, and just love your spirit and your testimony. I think of the love of God that's saturated your life, and today you're just a conqueror in Him, and just a beautiful, you have a great spirit. You have an excellent spirit, Carolyn. It's amazing. Good to hear from you.
Carolyn, you, Carolyn, before we let you go, have you got a lot of snow up there in New Hampshire?
Actually, we've got more ice than snow, unfortunately. This is the first time in almost over 35 years that I have not been able to clear my walkway and my driveway because the snow, the ice has impact. I got about 2 to 3 inches of ice with snow mixed on top of it, and I have not, this wow. is the first year. I have not been able to get through it, and even my guys that come and help me and my neighbors haven't been able to do it either.
Mm. Are you looking forward to spring?
I actually shocked myself the other day when I was at a gas station, and I said to this gentleman that happened to be walking by, it's like, I can't believe, after I took a chunk of ice out from my windshields, I couldn't believe how it was like about a foot long and about an inch and a half thick. And I was like just in awe over it. Then we had those 24 to 48 hours of warm weather. And I said to the gentleman, I said, I can't believe I gave up a house in Florida for this. Me neither.
I know. I think it's been a long, cold winter, and we're all looking forward to the spring and when it arrives. I don't know what it is about spring. It just gives you that new beginning kind of sense in your soul, and the days get longer, they get warmer, and we're just so excited about it. And then, of course, it means an unfolding of another season for ministry work, and then we move into June for the International Convention and summer harvest trips around the globe. Lots of good things to look forward to.
I've been in prayer for Eurocon coming up and the trip to Poland, and just, you know, I love being in the line with you guys. Like a dog thirsty for water, I just can't wait for the next prayer, the next time, you know, what else are we praying for? And I love staying in touch with the prayer line. You know, it's so important to us to help each other out and bless each other up.
Well, good to talk to you, Caroline. Thanks for reaching out to us today on the Grace Hour.
I love you, Pastor. God bless you both. Thank you.
Thank you. 800-338-7060. That's the toll-free number anywhere in North America. And right here in Baltimore, you can join us at 410-483-3700. Let's go to Dundalk, Maryland next. Mary is joining us on the Grace Hour. Mary, welcome.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I'm trying not, I don't think I'm being judgmental or anything, but I'm just wondering, when people get Alzheimer's, when they're born again, I thought that they had peace of mind, and now I know someone that is picking up a knife and almost causing fires and stuff like that, and I thought they were Christian, and I don't know. I don't want to be judgmental or nothing, but whenever you're saved and you have Alzheimer's, I thought there was peace. You don't pick up knives and stuff like that. I don't know what to think.
Well, I mean, that's a pretty serious condition. Not that any of us are doctors or have any, you know, background, medically speaking, but we do know that's a very serious condition and can really incapacitate a person. And I don't think that it's a question of you and I judging their spiritual condition. It's just a physiological condition that affects the mind and every part of the soul. And God obviously still has them and preserves them. And it may be like even a cancer that can shut down a person's body. It doesn't change. They might not always have joy. They might not always experience the peace and the tranquility that God gives them. But I think deep in their soul, they can still have that, and God preserves that for them.
Okay, thank you. Well, will you keep the people, their loved ones, in prayer?
Sure. Oh, Father, we pray for this family. And whenever we hear about this condition, and we're familiar with it, not to a great degree, not that we can understand it completely from a medical point of view, but we know how debilitating it is. We know how serious it is. We know that the impact that it can have, not only on the person who has it, but the loved ones and the family members as well. So we pray your covering and blessing upon that family. Give them grace, give them patience, give them love as they deal with this family member that's been diagnosed with this terrible disease. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you very much. Y'all have a good one. I sure do love you.
Thank you, Mary. Appreciate the call. Phone lines are now open. Great opportunity for you to join us, friends. And of course, one of the more current events that everybody is thinking about, talking about, Pastor Jason, is, of course, what's happening overseas on the borders of Ukraine. And you live there. You've been there. You were a missionary there for years. You still have a lot of people there that you know and love. What's the latest that you're hearing, and what's the perspective that you have up to this point?
Yeah, I just want to shout out to Vladimir Medvedsky. He's on the Facebook or YouTube chat here. Really good to hear from him. He's from the Carpathian Mountains, which is in the southwestern part of the Ukraine. We've been in touch with our pastors, my brother, Pastor Christian Moore, and myself. We've been in touch with our churches there. We have four churches there, or five churches. And, you know, it's amazing, not to be redundant, like we said last time, but there is such peace. There's a plan, but there's also peace in their hearts, and we're just believing God that this would be something that would stir up their hearts. We've heard that there are people moving west, and our churches in the west of the Ukraine are willing to receive them. They're making a place for them, and we're praying that, you know, war doesn't happen, but if it does, there's a plan to go even more west into Poland, and our churches in Poland are ready to receive some of our brothers there. But we're really believing God that this would just be an opportunity to say that God has the king in his hands, and that no weapon formed against us will prosper. So I'm really proud of them in this sense. The conversations I've had with are the ones that I've had anyway, that they are just very, there's peace in their spirit, and they're ready. There's a plan together, but they're also like, I asked one pastor, I said, is there anything that we can do for you? And they just said, you know, we're trusting our God. That's what you taught us to do. So I was like, oh, okay. God, well, you know, It's quite a significant situation, and we're believing that it will de-escalate, which there's still time for that to happen.
Yeah, and that's our prayer as well. There's been just so many mixed messages that we get from the media and from different parts of the world. We just don't know. We don't know what to think exactly. But I'll tell you, the one thing about them is, as a people, as a nation, they are a very resilient, determined people, aren't they?
Yes.
I mean, I saw a piece, a news story, where I think she was an 89-year-old grandmother, was being taught how to use a weapon, and she says, I'm ready to defend my country.
Yes.
She's a grandmother, 89 years old, and, you know, she was learning how to use a weapon. I hope and pray that she never has to use it. But it's incredible to think, yes, that they have such a hunger and a desire for their freedom and their independence as a nation that they would be ready to do battle for it.
Well, they have suffered a lot. Looking at their history, it's no picnic, that's for sure. They have suffered a lot, so they know the price of their freedom, something in this country which I hope will be regained in the hearts and minds of the young people, because our freedom is not free. It's a gift from God. I often think of Isaiah and Jeremiah. Isaiah, for 40 years, begged the nation of Israel to hear the word of the Lord. And then Jeremiah followed up in bondage to preach that same message with tears. But I mean, again, they have endured incredible hardships, starvation, occupation, tyrants, and so on and so forth. But they have been exceptionally resilient. They're gifted. They make amazing disciples. They're serious with God because they know the price of their faith, and just encouraged by their faith in this moment, excited to see how God will turn this into something good. You know, just thinking about the mind, you know, that person Mary there from Dundalk, it's interesting when our faculties start to degenerate and our filters or our tact starts to be removed, what is deep in us starts to come out. And I've talked with many folks that have struggled, and it's amazing how the Word of God regenerates, how the Word of God renews the mind. And we need this on a daily basis with the bad information and the onslaught of lies that can be lodged in our soul and into the depths of us, and we have to address it with the Word. There's no way I'm going to survive unless I'm in my Bible, spiritually speaking. There's no way I'm going to survive if I'm not in a local assembly, have a church family. There's no way. You can tell me six ways from Sunday, I don't believe you for one second, unless we're all rooted and grounded in the Bible, in the truth. And I just think that personality is part of the soul. This is just something that it wears off. It wears off. There has to be the heart of God. The engine of who God is motivating, moving, ministering. And I just think with Philemon, I mean, this is, you see Paul. I love this in we refer to verse 18, but if he's wronged you or owes you anything, put it on my account. Like, you can't do that in your flesh. You want recompense. But he's saying, listen, God has done this for us a millionfold, and I have done it for you, and I want you to do it to the most undeserving. That's the heartbeat of God. That's the heartbeat. 13:12 of Isaiah, the value of man is more than the gold of Ophir. Like, the value, that's the heartbeat of God. That's the heartbeat of God. There's no throwaways. There's you're precious in the sight of God, because God gave everything to redeem you and I. He sent his beloved son. So this is a very important thought, I think. Yeah.
The heartbeat of God.
Amen.
Pastor Gary, Barbara Witt, wrote to us on Facebook Live. So Pastor Moore mentioned to muzzle the cosmic noise. Reminds me of Mark chapter 4, verse 39. Jesus got up and he sternly rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still, be muzzled." And the wind died down as if it had grown weary, and there was at once a great calm and a perfect peace. Yeah, that's exactly what we need to do, is muzzle all that cosmic noise, because, you know, do you ever notice that if you're in a room that who's ever speaking the loudest, that's the voice that you hear? And sometimes what we have to do is learn to turn a deaf ear to so many of the voices that are in our culture, in our society, in our world today, and to develop this discerning spirit and this, Pastor Shallow mentioned it a few weeks ago, the circumcised ear where we can hear the voice of God. Because if you cannot hear God's voice in the midst of all this cosmic noise, your soul is going to be greatly troubled, overwhelmed by fear and anxiety, and you're going to miss out on and be robbed of the peace that the Scripture says passes understanding.
Absolutely. I mean, think about, here's two great verses, 2 Thessalonians 3:5. He directs us into His love. Like, that's His heartbeat. And in 3:17 of Ephesians, He roots us in His love. It's the love of God, the grace of God, the heartbeat of God that goes way down deep into us and literally removes the lie, removes the pain, and fills it with His life. And it totally transforms not only the way we think, but the way we act. And I think if we live in our soul, we're just going to be a lunatic, honestly. I can say it to myself. I'm a lunatic when I'm in, right? I mean,
yes, yeah.
Because it's
yes,
all,
you are.
Yeah.
No, we all are. We all are.
I mean, it's like, you know, you talk about prevailing voices. I mean, the person that just talks about themselves incessantly, it's like there's a loneliness in the soul. There's a cosmic loneliness that God says, listen, you need to hear and be loved and cared for and be still in my presence. I mean, there's so much. I think a lot of Christians, we can live in our soul. We can make our injustices and all of our pains and all of our regrets the issue. And God's like, no, my heart beats the issue. I walked all those miles to talk to the woman at the well. I healed the man at the pool. Peter looked at the man at the gate beautiful and said, listen, you're asking for one thing. You're asking for the wrong thing. I'm going to give you something you desperately need. And that's my life, my Savior, and it's incredible. We ask for the wrong thing all the time because we're living with an occupation of the soul. When God says, when He shows us His heartbeat, we begin to, our prayers become answered because we're asking according to His will.
Yeah, amen. Julie has asked a prayer for her husband, Russell. She said, I'm asking for prayer because he's at a place where he's saying, oh, there is no God. The enemy's angry because he knows God is going to move heaven and earth to lift this dark burden from him. Yeah. And Julie, there are others that may be listening to us today that also are experiencing that dark burden. Mm. And can even, and again, just he needs to know that he can say that. And it's okay, because saying that there is no God doesn't remove the reality that God is there. He loves him still. And we'll get him through this. We're praying. Father, we pray for Russell. And we just ask that again, by your grace, that this burden indeed would be taken away. And that his eyes would be opened to see how greatly he is loved, cared for. And we just pray that you would hear our cry. Hear the cry of his wife, Julie, and move mightily. In Jesus' name we pray. And for anyone that may be experiencing the dark night of their soul.
Yes.
Lift it. For your name's sake, we pray. Amen. Let's go up to York, Pennsylvania. Pastor Duke Horton is joining us. And Pastor Duke, great to have you with us in the Grace Hour. And I hope you're getting ready for us. We're going to be putting together a nice little group to come up and be with you Friday night.
Yes, we're excited, Pastor Love. That's why I'm calling. We're going out after... soon, immediately after Grace Hour, my family and a group of us, Pastor Larry, we're going to be out again. I've been out on Monday and Tuesday, and we went out all through the area putting up. We went every place that would allow us to put up a flyer in the window of their business. We went to. Some turned us away, but many were willing and open. So we're asking for prayer again for today, tomorrow, and Friday. And we're just going to keep going and trusting God. So if you guys can pray for this afternoon, that God would bless it and draw people.
Well, Lord, we do pray that all of these efforts that Pastor Duke and his team are putting forth to reach young people up in his part of Pennsylvania would pay off on Friday night. We pray that you'd really put it on the hearts of those that are reading about this meeting and hearing about it to come out. We'll be bringing a good group up right here from Baltimore of young people, and we just pray a great, great blessing upon that night. We pray that lives would be changed and souls would be saved and young people's hearts would be won because of your great love and grace toward them. And we really ask for a blessing beyond anything that we could even ask or think. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Love.
Look forward to it, my friend.
Okay, we'll see you soon.
Amen. Pastor Jason?
Yeah, I just want to say something about Julie. You know, he sees God in you, Julie. And no matter how much he maybe denies that, your spirit and the life and the presence of God in your life is a beautiful ministry to him that can't be denied. And isn't that true? Like, you look at Isaiah chapter 40, God is talking all about himself. There's even a verse for all those flat earthers in there. He sits on the circle of the earth. I know that's going to bless a lot of people hearing that. But it's all about him. It's all about him, and it's not about us. And this is the beautiful revelation and transformation agent in a believer's life, that when we live in the heartbeat of God, we understand who he is, and it's not about us. And really, I love Isaiah 40, because it starts off with, speak comfortably to my people, because they're out of their minds, and I want to bring them into my mind. And this is a good thing to acknowledge, isn't it true? Like, I know in my own life, like, okay, I need to get in my Bible. I need to focus in on what God is saying. I need to stop listening to myself and start talking to myself in Scripture. And I love this. He is talking over and over how he is greater. He is more than we could even comprehend. He says, behold, the nations are a drop in the bucket in verse 15 and are counted as small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing. And then he says this, again, he's saying, 22, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. I think when we get this out of kilter, when God is big, we are small, and we understand that God is ultimately, his heartbeat released in our life will bring healing. You know, Hane said something about the healing heart of love, and this is what heals us. It's not analyzing and trying to fix us, but it's really collapsing in the arms of love and hearing that heartbeat, like John, right? John, right there on the chest, hearing the heartbeat of love.
Amen. I think maybe some of these folks that believe in a flat earth should get on one of these space expeditions and go up and take a look at the planet from that perspective. That might have an impact on their thinking a little bit. What do you think?
It's delusional to think that the earth is flat.
Yeah, I think so. You got to do your homework, or at least save up enough money to go on one of those trips.
Don't get me started. That makes me rich. That's like a mockery. I mean,
join the billionaires that are flying out in space, and they'll. Yeah. You know, what do you think that those pictures are that they're sending back to us? is that phony? You think that's not the sphere of the Earth that they're looking at? Or somebody could say, well, they're just looking at the flat side of it. Come on, friends. Come on.
Pastor Love, we're
come on.
Do we want to go there?
No.
No, oh, man.
You know, Pastor Stevens,
Hello.
Used to say that anybody who believes in a partial rapture has a partial brain. maybe, anybody that believes in a flat earth is a flathead. I'm not so sure how we can
or have a flat top. I mean, it's the heartbeat of God. The Christian is not appointed to wrath. It's the heartbeat of God that we're forgiven. It's a heartbeat of God that we're saved forever. It's the heartbeat of God that our value is beyond comprehension. It's the heartbeat of God.
That's
boy,
right.
Our Bible filled with redemption, screaming, saying, listen, I am not weary of you. I am not tired of you. I love this. He says, there's no way to understand who I am here in 28. There's I giveth power to the faint and increases strength to those that have no might. Boy, that's the heartbeat of God. It's not, it's just collapsing and receiving his heartbeat.
Yeah, amen. And we hope that these messages that you've been listening to throughout this week in the Grace Hour have been a source of encouragement and helped you. And we do want to remind you that coming up on tomorrow's Grace Hour broadcast, we're going to be listening to a classic message from Pastor Stevens entitled The Heartbeat of God. And I think you're going to enjoy it. I can almost promise you you're going to enjoy it. So please make your plans to tune in both to the two remaining broadcasts that we have coming up this week, tomorrow's, and then, of course, on Friday. And you'll be greatly encouraged. The Heartbeat of God is one of love. It's one of mercy. It's one of forgiveness. It's one of joy. It's one of peace. When you think of the fruit of the Spirit and all that the Spirit produces in your life, again, that's the heart of God. And I'll tell you something else about the heart of God. His heart is not willing that any should perish. And if you've never made a decision to trust Jesus Christ in a personal way, you could ask him to save you. Again, your prayer is not what saves you. Christ does the saving. But your prayer opens the door so that he can come into your heart and rescue you and forgive you of your sins and to make you a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. If you've never made that decision, we encourage you, do it today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, period. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. And knowing that you're saved is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to you. He'll put that confidence and assurance deep within your soul so that you can not only be saved, but you can know that you've passed from death unto life. So encourage you to do that. And if you do make that decision, please contact us here at the Grace Hour. Call us on one of those numbers, 800-338-7060. That's the toll-free number or the local number, 410-483-3700. Let us know you made that decision to trust Christ. We can celebrate with you. We can rejoice over your spiritual birthday together with you. And then we can send you some booklets that will encourage you in your new walk of faith. Pastor Jason, thanks for joining us on this Wednesday edition of the broadcast.
Thank you. Great to be with you, always.
And friends, we're looking forward to, again, tomorrow's message entitled The Heartbeat of God, which has been and will continue to be our theme this week right here in the Grace Hour. Appreciate you tuning in, taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us. Hope you've been blessed, and we're looking forward to tomorrow's broadcast. You can join us a little less than 24 hours from now. God bless you. Don't forget about our Wednesday service. That's tonight at 7 p.m.
Thanks for listening to The Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.